This is John Walden. We're studying the book of the Revelation together. Welcome to our study. Please join us at chapter 6 and verse 1. And I saw when the Lamb, the Lord Jesus, a favorite title of his in the book of the Revelation, I saw when the Lamb opened one of the seals. Now these seals, as we saw in chapter 5, are the seals on the title deed to this world, the right to judge this world. And the Lord Jesus Christ alone has that right. We're told in the 5th chapter of the book of John that the Lord Jesus, suffering as he did for us at the cross, has the right to give eternal life. And it says, the Father hath given him authority to execute judgment also, because he is the Son of Man. The title Son of Man was given to the Lord Jesus in his humiliation when he came down here to be a Savior. That same title is a title of honor for him now, because he is going to be the judge. The one who offered himself as a Savior has a right to be the judge. If you reject him as your Savior, he most certainly will be your judge. But he doesn't want to be, and so we have brought before us the warnings of the book of the Revelation, so that we do not need to blunder on into the troubles and sorrows ahead for those who reject Christ. Now, everything from Revelation 4 and verse 1 onward is future. The first verse of the 4th chapter represents the rapture, or the catching away, of the church. We see his people gathered around himself in chapter 4, wearing the crowns given to them at the judgment seat of Christ. The troubles of the book of the Revelation, and most of the book of the Revelation, is occupied with what we call the Great Tribulation, the 7 years of trouble that will follow the return of the Lord for his own. The Lord Jesus might come at any moment. There's not a thing to keep him from coming just as I'm talking to you. There are no unfulfilled prophecies that would prevent his coming immediately. And if he should come and take away his people, then the things that are written in the book of the Revelation from chapter 4 and onward would take place. Now in chapter 6, we have the opening of the first six of these seals. Many refer to these as the first half of the 7 years of the Great Tribulation, or the portion known as the beginning of sorrows. In any case, the things that are told here are the things that are going to happen soon after the Lord Jesus takes home his own. Now the first thing that he heard, the voice that he heard, was like the noise of thunder, and one of the beasts, or living creatures, saying, "Come and see." The Revised Version says simply that he said, "Come." It's not our coming to see, but it's his call for whatever is to happen at the opening of this first seal to come. And this is what he saw. Behold, a white horse. White horses in Scripture often speak of conquerors. The Lord Jesus himself is said to come on a white horse in the 19th of Revelation as the conqueror. Here is one who seems to be imitating the Lord Jesus, and if so, this, of course, would be the Antichrist. For when our Savior comes and takes us home, then is going to be revealed, according to 2 Thessalonians 2, the man of sin, the Antichrist, the beast, and this person that sat on this horse had a bow. Nothing said about arrows. Someone has suggested that this was long-range warfare. That is, he conquers without actual combat. And a crown was given unto him, and he went forth conquering and to conquer. Who would this be except this man of sin that the Lord says is going to come? The world is looking for him now. Already we've had a number of dictators who've gotten used to the idea. Most men have said that if someone was big enough to take it over, they'd like to see someone take over the control of the whole world. There's a great deal of agitation for a world government. Out of the United Nations, some feel, may come some sort of world government. Who will be this next world governor? Who will be this dictator? Not the Lord Jesus. the Lord Jesus is coming later. But for the 7 years of the great tribulation following the return of the Lord, there will be the reign of this very wicked person. Now he comes peaceably at the beginning, but verse 3 says, when he had opened the second seal, I heard the second beast say, come, and there went out another horse that was red, and power was given to him that sat thereon to take peace for the earth, from the earth, and that they should kill one another, and there was given unto him a great sword. So war follows soon afterward. A war that seems to be almost of an anarchy type. And so, soon after the Antichrist takes over, with all of his boasts of peace, man's wickedness, for it is out of the lust of man's own heart that war comes, these things will break loose in an unprecedented war. The World War that ended in 1918, and then the Second World War, and all of the other conflicts will seem almost like Sunday school picnics compared with this terrible time that is yet ahead. When he opened the third seal, I heard the third beast say, come. Come and see, it says in our King James Version, but the Revised says, come. It's the calling of these troubles. And I beheld, and lo, a black horse, and he that sat on him had a pair of balances in his hand for weighing out food. And I heard a voice in the midst of the four beasts, the four living creatures, saying, a measure of wheat for a penny. Now, translated into modern-day speech, this simply means enough food for one day, or even for one meal, for a day's wages. A penny, or a denarius, the Roman denarius, was a day's wages, you may recall in some of the stories that our Lord told. Now, if you want the best, which is wheat, you'll just get enough for one person for one day's wages. Barley is a little cheaper, 3 measures of barley for a penny. What about the oil and the wine? Don't touch that. The luxuries of the rich will be untouched. And so we see that not only do we have famine, but we have the inequalities that always have plagued the human race. And when we had opened the fourth seal, I heard the voice of the fourth beast, of the fourth living creature, say, come. And I looked, and behold, a pale horse, and his name that sat on him was death, and hell followed with him. And power was given unto them over the fourth part of the earth. Now this was the first of several great slaughters in the book of the Revelation. I remember my father teaching the book of the Revelation perhaps some 50 years ago, and when he told of things like this, people said that's an impossibility. How could that many people be killed at once? But we know now with the advent of nuclear fission, the atomic bomb, and hydrogen bomb, and the potential cobalt bomb, we know that it would be a very simple matter to kill a fourth part of the earth at one time. To kill with sword and with hunger and with death and with the beasts of the earth. And so, the third seal brings famine and the fourth seal brings pestilence. And all of the things that go along to make death universal in time of war. When we open the fifth seal, I saw under the altar the souls of them that were slain for the word of God and for the testimony which they held. Now, in order to understand this, you have to remember that the church is already in heaven, and that these people who die for the testimony which they hold are the believing Jews who are killed during the great tribulation period. They are those who refuse to bow to the Antichrist, who are faithful to the Lord unto death. And they say, how long, O Lord, holy and true, dost thou not judge and avenge our blood on them that dwell on the earth? Now these are only the souls of the altar, under the altar. They do not yet have their bodies, but they're conscious, they have memories, and they're able to rest and wait a little season until the rest were fulfilled. Verse 12, and I beheld when he had opened the sixth seal, and lo, there was a great earthquake, And the sun became black as sackcloth of hair, and the moon became as blood, and the stars of heaven fell to the earth as a fig tree casts her untimely figs when she is shaken of a mighty wind. And the heaven departed as a squirrel, and it is rolled together, and every mountain and island removed out of their places. And thus I think we have the complete breakdown of society, the destruction of civilization, political, social, ecclesiastical chaos. And we already have some examples of this. Men's hearts are failing them for fear for looking for the things coming upon the earth. When it comes, at an awful time it will be. Complete anarchy. All of the things that we once thought dependable gone. And the horror of this thing impressed on the kings of the earth, the great men, the rich men, the chief captains, mighty men, and even the slaves, as well as free men, caused them to hide themselves in the dens and caves and rocks of the mountains, and say to the mountains and rocks, fall on us and hide us from the face of him that sitteth on the throne and from the wrath of the Lamb. Wrath of a Lamb? Isn't the Lamb the gentlest of all beasts? Father, don't forget that in chapter 5 we saw that the Lamb of God is really the Lion of the tribe of Judah. The great day of his wrath has come, and who shall be able to stand? I hope you won't be at that great prayer meeting. I won't be. The Lord has redeemed me, and I do not fear the wrath of the Lamb, because I know the value of his precious blood. Our Father, we pray for those who, if our Savior were to come just now, would be left behind for judgment. Turn them to thyself, we pray. Bless thy dear children. Help us to be glad for all that it means to be saved. We give thee our thanks in the precious name of the Lord Jesus. Amen.